Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. Live from the Kintec studio, Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dranser right now covering the Canucks morning skate at Rogers Arena. He'll be along a little later in the show, so I'm solo for this first hour. Anticipate Dan Riccio joining me in studio at 11:30. Now, of course, it is a Canucks playoff game day, game two against Nashville. And yet, if you noticed, not my most exuberant, excited what's up to open the show. And I hate to do this. I feel like I'm going to be breaking some not great news to a lot of people right now. If you haven't already seen it on Twitter, this news breaking just moments, minutes before the show got on the air. And I'll read Elliot Friedman's text here. This is from Elliot Friedman about 15 minutes ago. Hearing Thatcher Demko injured and questionable for the rest of the series. Frank Saravalli from the Daily Faceoff also saying sources tell Daily Faceoff Canucks Thatcher Demko is out for game two. His status for the series is questionable. Demko was not on the ice at the optional practice for the team yesterday, was not on the ice for the optional morning skate today. And yes, both are optional, but of course, if he was starting, you would expect him to get some work in, get that starter's routine in this morning. So that raised a lot of eyebrows. And then shortly thereafter, the insiders come through with the reports that Thatcher Demko not only will miss tonight's game, but questionable for the rest of this series against the Nashville Predators. So send your text in. We're already getting it. We're getting the sounds like we just got our heart shattered. Get it off your chest. This is a safe space. Let me know how you're feeling with the news that Thatcher Demko is not going to be in the crease in tonight's game. Hit it up. Hit me up, 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. And Daniel Campbell texts in, I wish your music wasn't so happy right now. Yes, I agree. I love our intro music. It's great. Good, positive vibes. Not
keep
fitting.
It somber for the rest of the show.
Not fitting for this occasion today. All right, so look, that's the news, and what a punch in the gut, right? Because you're coming off the incredible emotional high of game one, comeback victory for the Canucks in their first playoff game at Rogers Arena in forever. Just a incredibly memorable night for the fans, for the players, for the franchise, for the city, right? Like, literally, we talked about it yesterday. That is why people follow a hockey team, a sports team, the Canucks, because you want those moments like that. And I was getting ready to come in and start this show saying, hey, guess what? You get to do it all again tonight. You get to have all of those same good vibes, that same emotional experience tonight, rooting for a Canucks win. This puts a damper on it. There's no doubt about it. But you still get to root on your team, the Vancouver Canucks, at home in a playoff game, in a game where they have a chance to take a big 2-0 series lead over the Nashville Predators. And obviously, losing Thatcher Demko is a blow, right? You don't need me to tell you that. We saw that save, huge save he made off of Anthony Beauvillier in the first period of game one. But I will say this. Moments like this are part of the reason why the Canucks brought in Rick Tocchet, why they brought in a coach who they thought could, what was the word? Remember, go back to it, instill that structure, instill those defensive habits. And you think back to Jim Rutherford's commentary way back when he was first hired and Bruce Boudreau was still here. It was the Boudreau bump. And one of the things he said when asked about his team was, I think we have a good goalie. I think we have a great goalie. And he wasn't willing to go a lot farther than that because he knew at that time Thatcher Demko was responsible for keeping that team in a lot of games and getting them a lot of points. And Thatcher Demko is still a phenomenal goalie. He's still a hugely important part of this team. But the difference now is because of the way the Canucks are able to play in front of their goalie, they have a chance to win even with Thatcher Demko injured. And it's a lesser chance? Of course it is. You can be the tightest defensive team in the league. You still need your goalie to make saves. There's still going to be times where he has to bail you out, and Demko is phenomenal at that. But again, this is an opportunity for what Rick Tocchet has been preaching, what Rick Tocchet has worked on, that structure, that defensive system, to carry the day. So I get it. This is a really, really tough blow. This is hard to swallow on the morning of game two of this series, but do not count the Canucks out tonight. Do not count the Canucks out for the rest of this series, because again, everything Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin and Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff have been building towards is to make sure the team is not reliant on Thatcher Demko, to make sure that the team can win without spectacular goaltending behind them, and they've shown that they can do that. It's going to be a big test. There's no doubt about it. I don't want to downplay the magnitude of the situation, the magnitude of the injury. We can get into the psychological aspect of it as well, right, for the team coming off that incredible emotional high, losing your star goalie, your backstop. That's going to be really tough. There's no doubt about it. But this is a team that can play shutdown defense in front of their goalie, lock it down, and still get the win in this series. All right, 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one's from Keith, who says, I'm calling it now. The team will win and play absolutely marvelous defensive game tonight. The bigger test will be game three in Nashville. Kyle in Mount Pleasant says, such Canucks luck. We had one moment of joy, and then the rug gets pulled out from under us. DeSmith was fine as a backup, but he's a rebound machine, and I don't trust him to hold the fort in the playoffs. And as Keith points out, this is always the thing with a backup goalie, right? It's not that they can't play good games, they can't play really good games, that you can't win with them. But the question is, how does it look when they're the starter? When they don't have those reset opportunities, right? When they're in game after game after game. And I think we started to see that with Casey DeSmith when Thatcher Demko was injured in the regular season, right? Came back and had a really strong effort in that game against Edmonton after getting a bit of that reset opportunity with Ian Clark. But now he's going into, you know, the grind of the postseason, the rigors of the postseason. And we'll see. Look, I mean, I guess there's a chance that Archer Shelov gets the start. He's up with the team. Mikkel in Maple Ridge says, does Shelov take the start? We'll hear from Rick Tocchet pretty shortly here, and we'll get any update, any information from Rick Tocchet, from the team in general, that we can when those quotes come along. I would bet on Casey DeSmith, but I suppose it's always possible that Archer Shelov gets the crease as well. That's always the question, and I think it's a great point that Keith makes. Like, look, one game tonight, that might not be, you know, that you can feel pretty confident in the team still, even without Thatcher Demko in the crease. But it's the question of what happens if Casey DeSmith is in game after game after game. Now, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves here. But, of course, the Canucks do have a chance to take that 2-0 series lead, even with Thatcher Demko out. Donovan in Powell River says, let's not stop the hype train. The boys are going to pull through. One down, 15 more to go. So that's some positive thinking. This one says, what the heck happened? Was he hurt last game? Did he come back too early? Well, everything we heard was that the Canucks were extremely, extremely patient with Thatcher Demko rehabbing and returning from his initial injury in the regular season. So I would be very, very hesitant to say, oh, they rushed him back. And he looked good in the two games he got in the regular season, certainly in game one against Nashville. He looked sharp. I know Farhan Lalji was reporting that he got some treatment after game one. So did he re-injure something? Did he tweak something in that game? We'll see if we hear more from Rick Tocchet, if we get any sort of update from Tocchet, if we get any more reporting from the various insiders here in the market and nationally on that. But from the outside looking in, it's very, very hard to see, or very, very hard to say, like, well, they did X wrong with Thatcher Demko. All the signs were that they were extremely patient. And sometimes you're very, very patient. You take your time. You give the player every opportunity in the world to rehab and get ready. And this is still what happens. And, you know, even beyond just them being patient and taking their time, I know Drance was reporting that internally the team was pretty optimistic that, hey, we're actually going to have a fresh Thatcher Demko coming back for the playoffs. He's going to be rested. We've been able now to limit his workload in the regular season, and this is going to be a bit of an ace up our sleeve in the playoffs. So I don't think there was any sense whatsoever that they were risking re-injury by bringing him back at this point. This is just one of those things that can happen. And again, we should point out, you know, that the reporting right now is, it's not that he's out for the series. It's that he's questionable for the rest of the series. Now, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. That's not a particularly optimistic report from Elliot Friedman and Frank Saravelli and Rick Dhaliwal. That doesn't sound great, but you also have to keep it in context. They're not saying this is a major re-injury. They're not saying this is, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, anything like that, out for the series. They're saying out for tonight, questionable for the series. Bobby from the Docs says, probably pulled or re-injured something doing the splits on that save in the first. I know a lot of people are going to point to that. That was kind of the most athletic, demanding, physically moment that Thatcher Demko had in the game. We're going to have Kevin Woodley on, not for a while because we're doing these 3-hour shows, but Woodley will join us at 1:30. Really, really fascinated to talk to Kevin Woodley about anything he might have seen from Thatcher Demko, kind of the demands of coming back, which types of play put that extra strain on a goalie in Thatcher Demko's position. But, you know, I would be 100% lying if I sat here and said to you, oh yeah, I noticed Demko looked a little off after the first period. I don't think he did. I think he still looked really sound, really comfortable in net. Now, obviously something must have happened to push him from healthy to out for tonight, but I have no idea how I could pinpoint, you know, I can't right now sit here and pinpoint the play or the moment where it happened. Although, as Bobby from the Docs says, a lot of people are going to point to that save against Anthony Beauvillier in the first period. Kurt says, oh, come on, Jamie. We both know he's not coming back next game. Yeah, probably not. Although you never know, right? Is this precautionary because they have a 1-0 series lead and they feel pretty good about Casey DeSmith? And yeah, next game, although there are 2 days off, I should note, in between game 2 and game 3. Game 3 will be on Friday in Nashville. But game 5, right? Beyond that, if the series goes long, is there a chance? Yeah, there absolutely is a chance. And again, I think the big thing to focus on here, especially once we get a little bit more information, once we hear a little bit more about this and have a sense of where this is headed, the big thing to focus on here, and what the Canucks are up 1-0 in this series. They are capable. They are. They're not even capable. They are an elite 5-on-5 defensive team. If they play defensively the way they're able to, the way they have shown over and over again that they are capable of playing this season, they are still absolutely the favorites to win this series, even with Thatcher Demko out. It got a lot harder, yes, no doubt about it, but they can still win this series, and I think that's the key here, because again, questionable for the series does not mean out for the playoffs. If they can get enough saves from Casey DeSmith, if they can lock things down in front of him, win this series, and that, man, taking that 2-0 series lead tonight would be absolutely huge. You get Thatcher Demko back. This does not have to be the death knell for the playoff run that everyone instantly reacts. And look, I'm the same way. I saw that Elliot Friedman tweet, and I thought, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this team's luck. So I get it. I 100% get where everything is coming from. But you take a step back, and this team absolutely has the horses to get the job done against Nashville, even with Thatcher Demko questionable for the rest of the series and out tonight. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This text comes in, every year injury-prone goalie, no use to this team. We're cursed. The injury conversation, look, to me, this is probably more of an off-season conversation, but I agree that the injury track record for Thatcher Demko has to be a part of the conversation now when you're talking about what the Canucks can expect from him on a year-to-year basis. Doesn't mean it's always going to be a thing. Doesn't mean it's going to happen every year. But there's been enough injuries that I think it's very fair for it to be part of the conversation. Other texts coming in here. This one says, bubble wrap Demko. I mean, I think they tried that. I think they tried that towards the end of the regular season, right? They did not rush him back. They let Casey DeSmith start a big game with division title implications on the road in Edmonton. They didn't hurry Thatcher Demko back for that. And again, I think they thought it would really give them an advantage going into the playoffs, that he would be healthy, that he would be fresh, that there wouldn't be a significant risk of re-injury. This is just one of those things. Is that, you know, at a certain point, you can plan as much as you want. You can have all the, what you think is going to be an edge, but sometimes bad things happen. Dylan in Vancouver says, I feel like the Canucks will rally behind DeSmith, need to win tonight, and get Demmer back for the rest of the series. I have faith. And that's a really interesting point from Dylan about how the rest of the team might react to this information. And, you know, even before the Thatcher Demko news, I think the emotional response from the Canucks was going to be something fascinating to watch in this game, because game one on Sunday was such a catharsis, such an emotional moment. We even heard Rick Tocchet yesterday say, you know what, typically I would have had a full practice today, but I knew the guys were burnt out. I knew they were kind of emotionally exhausted, so I gave them the optional. We did some team meetings, but I didn't want to put them through a whole practice. That was Rick Tocchet recognizing kind of the emotional ringer, even in a positive sense, that the players had been through on Sunday. And so looking at this game tonight, I was kind of thinking, all right, can the Canucks, you know, Rick Tocchet always talks about parking it after a bad game. Hey, you have a bad loss, park it, move on and play better in the next one. I think the Canucks challenge tonight was going to be to park the good experience, park the emotional highs the same way you would a negative, the same way you would a loss, and go out and, you know, not, we're not thinking about how great game one was. We're just playing our game. We're trying to win the game in front of us. I think that was going to be the challenge. Now the Thatcher Demko news throws a really interesting wrinkle into how they handle it emotionally. And, you know, I think there's a couple of different ways it can go, right? As Dylan texts in, one way is, all right, guys, this is something we can rally around. We know how we have to play. We know what we have to do now in front of Casey DeSmith. Let's use this as a rallying cry. Let's go out and get the job done. Let's sell out to block shots in front of him. Let's be extra, extra tight on our defensive details. By the way, update from Brendan Batchelor here, who says, Rick Tocchet says Demko skated yesterday. He's not going to play tonight. They're going to evaluate him today on something that isn't the same injury that he missed time with late in the year. So that's the update from Brendan Batchelor. Not going to play tonight. They're going to evaluate him today. And then the really fascinating piece of information here, it isn't the same injury that he missed time with late in the year. And again, that speaks to kind of what I was getting with the planning, and sometimes it's just not going to work out. And it doesn't sound like they did anything wrong bringing Thatcher Demko back from injury. The latest information we have from Rick Tocchet via Brendan Batchelor is that this is not related to the injury that kept him out towards the end of the season. This is a new injury, and that's something that, you know, you can't plan around it. There's only so much you can do to safeguard your star players from injury. This is the type of thing that teams have to deal with in the playoffs. They have to be able to roll with the punches. Let's hear right now live from Rick Tocchet at Rogers Arena discussing Thatcher Demko and more.
Because Demmer's a net, are you going to toe drag at the blue line? I mean, no, you shouldn't do it anyways. Like, that's one of our staples. We don't try not to do those dumb things, right? Whether Demmer's in net or whoever's in net, you try to play the right way. So why would we change? Like, all of a sudden we're going to dump the puck in more because, you know, we have Casey in net. I mean, no, we're going to play the same way.
Rick, do you have a history as a player or a coach where in the playoffs your starter suddenly injured and somebody else had to come back in? Can you regale us with something?
I think Kenny Reggett went in Pittsburgh. DeBrasso went down, which was huge. He was big. I'm trying to think. Why am I going blank? I know Kenny Reggett for Brasso. That was a big one for me. I wasn't there, but the goalie there? I wasn't there, though, but he was unreal for Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of the good stories.
This looks like a real prudent trade now. I mean, you knew Casey from his Pittsburgh days, and he seems to have a certain pedigree. You guys just didn't go acquire a backup. You acquired a guy who's played a number of games. How confident are you that he can just pick it up? And
I'm real confident. I love his demeanor. Very well-liked guy. I mean, you know. This is, you know, anytime you get in the playoffs, there's stories. And, you know, he's looking to be a contributor to this team. And we expect the way he's played all year for us, really solid hockey. We're not looking for him to be spectacular. We're looking to be Casey.
the emotions of game one were through the roof, 70-plus hits. It's probably going to be even amped up more tonight. How do you maintain that physicality and keep it on the right side of the line, stay out of the penalty box? Because as good as your penalty kill was in game one, you know they're going to adjust on the power play.
Yeah, I think what you want to be hitting, you want to hit. We all, I love hits, but I think you got to do it with good detail. Shoulder into the chest, no elbows up. I mean, a big hit is, like Big Z there had some nice hits. They were legal hits. That's what I want. You start running around, elbows up, jumping and stuff. I mean, that's not really, maybe 10, 20 years ago, you can do that. You can't do that nowadays. It's not really tough hockey. So I think we want to play a physical game, but obviously within the rules. I mean, you have to stay out of the box.
You spoke about a handful of guys you wanted to see more from yesterday. How do you and your staff motivate those guys up for a game like tonight?
I don't think you have to motivate them at this time of the year. I think you got to show them some stuff. The coaches were busy yesterday showing some individual clips, and it wasn't an effort thing. It was just kind of in the wrong spots. Maybe some tough decisions, like not bad decisions, some decisions that you might want to think about. A couple of diving in here and there, and I think it's just showing them on video. They know. I mean, you have to pound in their head. I mean, really, it's a 2-minute meeting. They get it.
All right, that was a little bit of Thatcher Demko, of Rick Tocchet commenting on Thatcher Demko. And as we were just cutting in there, you heard him answering like, "Look, it's not like the team should be trying all this fancy stuff just because Thatcher Demko is in net. That's not how he wants them to play anyway. So they shouldn't have to change their game that much just because Casey DeSmith is in net." That's the message from Rick Tocchet. And he also said, look, for Casey, and by the way, he's confirming there that it will be Casey DeSmith and not Artur Shelov's getting the start tonight against Nashville in Demko's absence. As he said about Casey, look, we don't need him to be spectacular. Just need him to be Casey, right? Make the saves he's supposed to make, keep the team in the game, and then let the other guys do the work in front. That's what they need from Casey DeSmith. And lots of great texts coming in. Jay and Poco says, here we go again. Same curse shows up to remind Canucks fans to never get excited about anything. Todd has bad takes, says, tonight is going to be a war. The boys will take it to the Preds hard to protect Casey. This one coming in, the only piece of positivity I can take out of this is he finished the game, practiced, etc. Demko fresh for next round or vibes we need right now. That's from Marty the Red. And it's a good point about him finishing the game. Again, it's not like he looked awkward towards the end of game one, at least not to my eye. I'm, admittedly not a goalie guy, but I didn't see that it was really a big topic of conversation from anyone else either. So who knows? Who knows at this point exactly what the problem is, exactly the extent of it? We all know how incredibly reluctant teams are to give out, dole out injury information at this time of year. And even people are texting in saying, come on, do you really believe it's not related? What else are they going to say? Look, I get it. We've all seen the gamesmanship, but I'm willing to take Tocchet, who's been an incredible straight shooter with the media this year. I'm willing to take Tocchet at his word that this is an unrelated issue from Thatcher Demko's previous injury. By the way, and this is surreal, just on my Twitter feed just popped up a video clip of Elliot Friedman on the Pat McAfee show talking about the Thatcher Demko injury, which is truly bizarre to see Thatcher Demko and his injury status being discussed on like the biggest sports talk show in the United States. And also hilarious to see AJ Hawk there trying to what's he going to do? He's going to ask questions about Thatcher Demko, former linebacker AJ Hawk. But hey, he's hanging in there. Good for him. Okay, we got so much more to get into here. I wasn't even going to talk about goaltending in the first segment of the show. There was lots else to get into, but obviously the Thatcher Demko news changed all of that. Dan Riccio will join me in studio. So we'll continue to break down the Thatcher Demko news, what it means for the Vancouver Canucks in game two, what it could mean going forward, what the Canucks need to do, especially in Demko's absence, now to take a 2-0 series lead on the Nashville Predators. And of course, we'll have any more breaking news updates for you as soon as they happen. So get your text in. Keep listening. Here it is, Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is injured, and as you know, guys, it's the playoffs. They're very careful. Nobody wants to say anything. We know he's not going to play tonight. I've been told he's questionable for the rest of the series, games 2-7 against Nashville. But that's a huge deal. You know, Demko is one of the best goaltenders in the league. He was out for close to the end of the regular season, but the Canucks timed it. They were careful with him. They brought him back a little bit later than he wanted to play because they wanted to make sure he would be okay. And he got hurt sometime in game one. He made a huge split save. You know, I kind of wondered if that was it. People are just being very careful. I'm told it's a new injury. It's not related to a previous one, but I don't know exactly what it is. And obviously they're very concerned.
All right, that is the latest from Elliot Friedman. Again, as I mentioned, he was on with Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk. And by the way, apologies to AJ Hawk for I was questioning how much he would have to contribute during a hockey interview. But as a texter points out, his brother-in-law, longtime NHLer Jack Johnson. So maybe AJ has picked up some hockey knowledge along the way. The latest there from Elliot Friedman on on the Pat McAfee show on Thatcher Demko was reiterating what Rick Tocchet had to say, which Friedge says he's told this is a new injury, which I think is probably the key piece of information at this point for Thatcher Demko. All right, it's Canucks Talk here, Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. We're live from the Kintech studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver online at DunbarLumber.com. Joining me in studio for this segment from Canucks Central here on Sportsnet 650, he is Dan Riccio. Reach. Is it panic time, buddy?
It's not panic time, but man, is it hilarious how Canucks fans all think the exact
same
way.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
I mean, I'm just like, I live a stone's throw away from the station. I've mentioned this a bunch of times. There was three people on the street that were like, of course this happened to the Canucks. I'm like, the news is still fresh. How does everybody know this?
I felt this was like one of the, I wouldn't say I felt bad necessarily, but it's like, I was really breaking news to people coming on, starting the show. Because, you know, it was tweeted out like 10 minutes before the show. And so not everyone's seen it. And it's like, guys, I wish I was doing something different here, but I've got some very bad news to disclose. And, like, I think there's a lot to get into here with this injury, right? Yeah. And I saw you made the point on Twitter. It's not as if this is series over for the Canucks. Far, far from
Shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't be.
Right? There is just something about the experience of going from the high on Sunday, and what an incredible experience that was for fans, and that signature playoff moment for Dakota Joshua and the team, and you're getting ready to get hyped for game two, to do it all over again, and then in classic Canucks fashion, it's a gut punch like this, right as the team is on the ice for morning skate. It's just, it feels so Canucks, does it not?
It is about as Canucky a thing that could happen, right? Sunday night, everything was so brilliant. Every vibe you could imagine was not even as good as you could imagine. It was even better,
than
what you had imagined that game to be like after the 9-year hiatus of playoff hockey at Rogers Arena. But you know what? At the same time, this is life in the playoffs, right? Injuries happen. Injuries to key players are going to happen. You're going to have to overcome them over the course of time. Now, is this something that should crumble the Canucks? I really don't think so. I really don't. Like, yes, all credit to Nashville, all respect to Nashville. But you know what? The Canucks are still a better hockey team. And at the end of the day, they should be able to win with, as long as Casey DeSmith gives them average goaltending, I still consider the Canucks to be the favorite in this series, especially with the one-game lead now moving forward. So this is a speed bump. It's more adversity for the Vancouver Canucks, but if they keep up with their defensive posture, then they'll be fine in this series.
Well, and the point I was making to open the show was, in some ways, not specifically this scenario, but I think way back to when Jim Rutherford was really early on the job, and one of his lines when he was asked about the team was, we have a great goalie. And so much of what, and you know, not only was he complimenting Thatcher Demko, he was also kind of throwing shade at the rest of the team and pointing out that that version of the team had to rely on spectacular goaltending night in, night out from Thatcher Demko. And so much of the work that Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin have done, from remaking the roster to bringing in Rick Tocchet and that coaching staff, has been to make sure that that's not the case anymore, to make this a team that does not need to rely on spectacular goaltending from Thatcher Demko. And this team has shown to be that's the case. They were one of the elite defensive 5-on-5 teams in the NHL this year. And if they're capable of playing, and we know they are capable, if they can do it, continue to do that during this series against Nashville, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to beat the Predators. Now, did it get more difficult? Yeah, of course it did.
Yeah.
You're losing one of your best players. You're losing one of the best goalies in the NHL. We saw the spectacular save he made early in that game against Beauvillier. Those are the types of plays that you can't necessarily rely on from Casey DeSmith. But this is not a goaltending-reliant team anymore, in nowhere near the same way it was earlier in Thatcher Demko's career. And I think the team has a chance to show here how much they've grown under Rick Tocchet.
Rick, you just played the audio from him, and we play the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's been their mindset all year long. You know, we're going up against the New York Rangers, we play the same way. We're going up against the Edmonton Oilers, we play the same way. It's more about us than it is about them. And this is the same thing. If they play the way that they have most of this season to their staples, they should be fine. You know, yes, I know in this recent stretch where Demko was down, what did they go, 7-5-2 was their record. And in that time, both DeSmith and Silovs were below their expected save percentage. So, yeah, they weren't living up to the shots that were coming in front of them. The Canucks were still playing pretty well defensively. Their goaltenders weren't making as many saves as they had been when Thatcher Demko was in net, or even early season Casey DeSmith, who was very good and did have one win over the Nashville Predators earlier this year, by the way. So, yes, you're going to have to keep this up, but also maybe even level up on the defensive side of things. That means continuing to limit rush chances. You know, they did give up the Beauvillier one early, but there wasn't a ton after that in the game. Certainly wasn't much that they gave up to Nashville in the third period. And I think the penalty kill is huge. Limiting your penalties first and foremost is of paramount importance. And, you know, that's one area where the Canucks really got crushed in Demko's absence, was allowing more power play goals. And when that's, you know, when your backup is in there, he's going to have to make tougher saves, especially when they're on the penalty kill. But they've got to make sure that they tighten up and do more of the things they were doing well on the penalty kill towards the end of game one. That needs to be of paramount importance moving forward.
I think the special teams thing is really important. And you said, you know, had the record 7-5-2 in Demko's absence. We had somebody text in, well, look, we saw what their record was. This means, you know, they're cooked in this series. But when you look at those losses, I wouldn't hang a ton of them on the goaltending necessarily. And there was the moment, you know, the Minnesota game. But again, how many of those were on the penalty kill that Casey DeSmith let in? 5-on-5 throughout that stretch, they got pretty decent goaltending. And I think a lot of their struggles to win games in that stretch came down more to what they were doing offensively than what they were getting from their goalies. Now, the point about the penalty kill is a really good one, because Thatcher Demko is such a rock there. You know, the old cliche of you need your goalie to be your best penalty killer is 100% true, especially for the Canucks. So discipline has to be a massive, massive key for the Canucks tonight, right? And I know Rick Tocchet said, and of course he said this, you know, the Canucks can't change anything about how they're going to play just because it's Casey DeSmith in for Thatcher Demko. I think discipline would have been a key anyways, right? Yep. You lost the special teams battle in game one by giving up a power play goal. You were still able to get the win, but you don't want to keep playing with fire like that, right? You don't want to put yourself in a position to continually lose the special teams battle. So I think discipline would have been massive anyways, and I think it's doubly so now. If you limit what Nashville does on the power play, Casey DeSmith can be just fine at 5-on-5.
Yep.
But the Canucks have to do their part. As you said, better on the PK, but also just don't go on the PK.
Yeah. 12-9-6 on the season. That's Casey DeSmith's numbers. 8.95 save percentage. He does have some playoff experience. Not a ton of playoff experience, but he has played playoff games for the Pittsburgh Penguins. just one, actually. And so, you know, I thought it was more than that in 2022 when he had to come in for the Penguins. But he made 48 saves out of 51 possible. So if you're looking for somebody who has a great playoff track record, Casey DeSmith is your guy in that sense. With a sterling 941 career save percentage in the postseason, just the one game.
There you go. They're bringing in the heater for the playoffs.
They're bringing in the heater. But, you know, I don't think about this so much on Casey DeSmith. Like, I know what Casey DeSmith is.
Yeah.
I know what he can give you. I understand where his strengths and where his weaknesses are. But it comes down to the Canucks and how they play defensively. If they continue to be a team that limits the chances they give up, then Casey DeSmith should be able to do the job. They shouldn't fear the Nashville Predators. We saw that in game one. Sure, maybe Philip Forsberg has a night in this series at some point, but the Canucks have done such a good job defending for the most part that they should be okay in this series. And I really think, you know, if you're going to look at, you know, who needs to step up, it's not so much just Casey DeSmith, but I think you look at other guys. Like, yeah, maybe there's more importance on getting more out of Elias Pettersson
100%.
Moving forward in this series and those types of things rather than, hey, you know, this is going to be on Casey DeSmith if the Canucks lose the series.
And I think you're right to put the spotlight on other players beyond Casey DeSmith, because at a certain point, you can only be so mad at your backup goalie for performing like a backup goalie, right? Like, he's a backup. We all understand there's a drop-off from Thatcher Demko to Casey DeSmith. I think the Pettersson one is really important, something I want to get into. You know, I saw the quote from Nikita Zadorov talking to reporters after the news broke, and, you know, he basically said, yeah, it's the playoffs. Guys get injured. And this Canucks team has been very, very healthy all year, obviously, mm-hmm. with the exception of that one Demko injury. You know, Carson Soucy out for a couple times, but really the key guys were phenomenally healthy. But that wasn't going to last all playoffs. Like, you're going to have to deal with something not going your way at some point if you want to make a deep playoff run. You would prefer it not to be game two, probably, of round one, right off the bat, like this.
Or maybe,
but
you would prefer it to be game two.
That's a good point, right? You're already up 1-0 in the series.
Like, if there's a series that the Canucks can win without Thatcher Demko, it's this one, right? You let's say you're in the middle of a series with the Edmonton Oilers. Like, yeah, that's, I know Casey had a great start against Edmonton recently, but, you know, that's a series that's going to be tougher to win without your star netminder.
Yeah, and I think, for all we talk, I think sometimes we overrate the whole idea of playoff experience, but I think this is the situation where it can really matter, right? Because as Nikita Zadorov said, yeah, this is something that happens in the playoffs and you can't worry about it too much. You just got to roll with it. And I was already really curious to see what the kind of response emotionally from the Canucks was coming off the high of Sunday. And this just adds another layer to it where they have to kind of demonstrate that maturity and that ability to focus and be single-minded and not fall victim to distractions. This is just a distraction. But again, you are always going to have to confront something like this in the playoffs. And they've got an opportunity to kind of show that they're capable of dealing with that tonight.
It's more like, you know, no panic is something JT said after the game when they were, you know, talking about the third period. And I didn't see any panic in anybody in here. And we always just felt like we continue to play our game. We'll get our chances. We'll get our goal. And that happened. I think that has to be somewhat the similar mindset for the team here, in that you can't try to do too much.
Yeah.
You can't try to force things. You've got to continue to play your game and be who the Canucks are. And that's a stout defensive team that takes advantage of other teams' mistakes. And on that note, taking advantage of the other team's mistakes, again, becomes even more important. Mm-hmm. How many odd man rushes did they have that they just weren't great on?
No execution.
No execution.
No execution.
Less
whatsoever.
Than zero. Right?
Yeah.
You have an odd man rush.
They've had so few odd man rushes this year. Like, it was just not their game that they're like, oh, what do we do with these?
It's so true. Like,
we
don't
have any reps on these guys.
Man, guys, I don't. What is this breakaway? This is so strange to me. But you know, you had the Lindholm one. There was where it goes off the heel of his stick. Joshua, you know, he has multiple options. Can shoot. Can look over to his left side where Lindholm is set up for a one-timer. He decides to tap it back to Garland. The chance goes astray in a 3-on-2. The other chance that ends up with Tyler Myers when you have Pettersson waiting for a one-timer. Like, there's so many opportunities there that they had. That's just in the first period. And Nashville's going to give you those. Like, that's part of Nashville's games, is they're willing to take those risks and willing to take some of those chances coming back the other way, because that's just Andrew Brunette's philosophy on hockey. They're willing to take some of those chances. So there's going to be some of those opportunities for you, but you have to be better in taking them.
Dixon and Abby Texan, fellas, I think the key is getting out to a lead early. That'll take care of 85% of the jitters we all have. Then the Canucks can settle in to their defensive game. I think that's a great point, right?
Yeah.
We've seen how comfortable this team is when they have the lead, right? It plays in so well to what they want to do and how they want to play and how they want to dictate the game. If they are able to get that early lead, not that you sit back, right? Because that's not how they play, but you know what the focus is, you know what your goal is then. And then I think that will force Nashville to chase the game a little bit. And I thought it was really interesting, Andrew Brunette yesterday saying that he thought the team dumped it in a little too much for his liking rather than carrying it into the zone, trying to get those rush chances. And I think if there's a greater emphasis from Nashville on, okay, we can't dump the puck in, or we want to do it much less, I think that could play into the Canucks' hands, because they're a really good team at defending the neutral zone. You think of the size and mobility they have on the back end with Soucy and Myers and Zadorov. They're pretty good at forcing those dump-ins. If Nashville is maybe trying to make too many extra passes in the neutral zone, and especially if they're chasing the game, that could be a situation for the Canucks to kind of get some of those counterattacking chances going. And, you know, the other thing I'll say about, again, not that this is different from what the Canucks normally want to do, but it takes on greater importance with Casey DeSmith in net, is the Canucks are at their best when they are spending a long time in the other team's zone, right?
Yes.
And at a certain point, hey, it's great to be a good defensive team in your defensive zone, but the best way to play defense is keep the puck 200 feet away from Casey DeSmith, right? You want to make Casey DeSmith comfortable, spend as much time as you can with the puck in Nashville's zone, right? So getting that established, getting that forecheck working early and turning those pucks over is going to be huge too.
Winning those puck battles in the offensive zone, massive for this team. It has been all year. I think the defensive blue line is such an important part for the Canucks in this series. You saw some of the turnovers that Nashville made in and around that area, turn back the other way to odd man rushes for Vancouver. Nashville likes to add an extra man into the rush. They like to get that weak side D going. If you can get a stick on some of those cross-ice passes, you'll be fine. You'll create some things going back the other way. And to the point of playing with a lead, yeah, I know the Canucks had some troubles towards the end of the year defending the lead. They had the sterling record for basically the whole year, right up until the All-Star break. And then it started to crumble a little bit. But if you think about Game 1 and how they took that lead and the way they defended with that lead afterwards, they were at their most comfortable when they went up 3-2 in the game, when they took their first lead of the series and were just absolutely locked down from there on out. So yes, it's one of the keys to success all the time is playing with the lead. Every team has that. But I think even for Vancouver, it's more so than other teams, because they're so comfortable and suffocating really when they have the lead and they play within their defensive posture.
I think back to the last meeting with Edmonton in the regular season, and just they got up in that game, and even Edmonton, now without McDavid granted, but even Edmonton had a really, really tough time generating once the Canucks were comfortably up in that game. On Pettersson, and we got a bunch of people texting in, and look, this is completely fair, right? With Demko out, you need your other stars to step up extra. We heard Rick Tocchet say yesterday that Pettersson was just okay, that line was okay. I think that's very fair commentary. They need more than okay, obviously, from Elias Pettersson and his line mates. And this text comes in: how unlike Hoglander was that stat line from last game? Looked like the big step up in game pace and play. Had him in shambles. Didn't look like himself one bit. Hopefully that's out of his system now. And I know some people, you know, they don't have a lot of patience for talking about Elias Pettersson's line mates because he's supposed to be a superstar. He is a superstar, and he's got to produce no matter what context he's in. But it's one thing, okay, hey, you've got Pettersson and Hoglander together. We're going to give Sam Lafferty a shot up there. I don't think Lafferty is a great fit there. But then when Hoglander has a noticeably off game as well, and I agree with the texture, it was not a strong performance for Nils Hoglander, that's a really, really difficult situation. I'm not trying to blame Nils Hoglander. I know Tocchet said the same thing. Look, it's not about blaming him. It's just a fact. But Hoglander can be a lot better. Pettersson can be a lot better. And at a certain point, as much as I don't like the fit with Sam Lafferty there, if those two guys are on their game, they should be able to create even with Sam Lafferty riding shotgun.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mikheyev gets a look back up with Pettersson and Hoglander today. I know Rick Tocchet had said no lineup changes other than the goaltender, but...
That could just mean no one coming out, though, right? He could juggle the lines a little bit.
Exactly.
Still.
We don't know exactly what the lines might look like. There was no practice yesterday, no official practice today. So... I'm curious, because we did see Mikheyev start to play on that line towards the end of game one. I wouldn't be surprised if it continues that way. But Sat went through, we talked about this on Canuck Central yesterday, he went through all of Pettersson's shifts, because on the post-game show, everybody was continuing to talk about Pettersson even after a win.
Which is so funny to me.
It's just, it is...
Biggest win in, what, 13 years for the team?
It's exhausting. It really is. Like... After all that, like, all you want to do is complain about Elias Pettersson, that he didn't have a goal in the game. But if you really isolate Pettersson's game, you know, the one thing I didn't like was there was a couple of moments where his puck management was curious, right? He threw some pucks into the middle of the ice that he doesn't normally throw pucks into the middle of the ice. But a lot of that line struggles, I think, came from the wings and what they weren't able to do. The puck dying on Hoglander's and Lafferty's sticks. Pettersson, you know, he doesn't have the line mates that Miller has. He doesn't have the line mates that Lindholm have. But he is a good enough player that he should be fine no matter what. And that's more of the Pettersson we're looking to see. He needs to have a couple of game-breaking moments in this series now without Thatcher Demko here. I thought he was close and has been close in the last couple of weeks. You know, he had the great drag move and chance at the far post that just missed. If he scores that, we're having a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know it didn't go off in game one, but I did like how situationally Tocchet was throwing out Lotto line here and there to try and, I mean, he did it with the 3-2 lead, try and kill the game off, like, hey, let's get the next goal kind of thing. And he did it a couple of times in the second period as well. So there's moments there for Pettersson to take advantage of. He's just got to be able to take them. And it's more, again, just his all-around game, the puck management, defensive side of the puck. As long as those things are there, Pettersson's going to have his chances. He's going to score some goals in this series.
All right, we're efforting to get Elliot Friedman on the line here momentarily to update us quickly on the latest he's hearing with Elliot or with Thatcher on Thatcher Demko. So we'll go a little long here for this segment. It's Canucks Talk. Jamie Dodd, Dan Riccio sitting in with me for the segment. Drancer should be on shortly. And right now we will go to Sportsnet's and Hockey Net in Canada's NHL Insider, one of the hosts of 32 Thoughts. He is Elliot Friedman. And Elliot, thank you so much for making some time for us. I know it's a very busy day. You broke the news of Thatcher Demko's absence tonight, questionable for the rest of the series. What can you tell our listeners about what you're hearing on the injury in Thatcher Demko?
All I heard is that this basically popped up right after the game. I believe, as you guys know, he didn't do media post-game. Mm-hmm. I think ESPN had asked for him post-game, too, to do an interview with. And he declined all of that, which is unusual. At this time of year, you know, it's an eyebrow raiser if a player does that. And now we obviously have a better reason. I know there's a lot of speculation about the great save he made on Beauvillier. I think it's premature to get to a lot of that stuff. I do think it sounds like it's a new injury. I've got some denials that it's anything related to what has happened before. But, you know, the one thing is people are sitting there saying how long? I don't think they really know yet, to be perfectly honest. And B, even if they knew, I'm not convinced they would say it so quickly. So the one thing that I was warned about was don't guess. So I'm not guessing because I don't think they really know yet.
So as you said, you know, don't guess, and they're not really sure. We heard day to day from Rick Tocchet, you know, obviously questionable for the rest of this series. On the point of it's not related to the injury he had in the regular season, we all know how careful teams are with information. And I'm seeing reports from Farhan Lalji. He had an MRI on the same knee but it's a new issue with the same knee. Is there some level of semantics here, right, where, okay, it's the same knee, but it's different, but is this part of, like, a playoff smokescreen that we see so often in the NHL?
Now that it's out, like, honestly, Dan, in my experience is, you know, the teams, they hide until they put it out, and now it's out. And I think, like, if people have long-term injuries, like Andrew Peak got hurt last night, and they're going with week to week. I honestly think when it comes to Demko, it's because they just don't know yet. And the thing about the semantics, all I can tell you is that it appears as, like, even though if it's his knee, you know, he's injured it before, all I'm under the impression is it's not the same injury. So it could be the same body part, yes, but is it the same exact injury? I've been led to believe that that's not the case.
You know, I think maybe in prior years we would have said, well, this could be a nail in the coffin for the Canucks, but under Rick Tocchet, Elliot, like they've shown that they can still play good hockey and win hockey games without relying on a goaltender standing on his head.
Well, I think the thing is, like, Demko is so good that you just hate to see that. I think you worry because, you know, you consider him the backbone of the team. The one thing I feel very strongly about, though, guys, is that, like, this year, this team has handled a lot of crazy stuff. Like, you guys know, if you play in Vancouver, you have to handle a lot of waves of emotion. And this team has been very good at doing that, elite at doing that, I would say. They trust the way they play. They trust that they can handle the various swings of a game. I think they are prepared and positioned to handle this kind of a change. But there's no question, Demko is your stud goalie. It's a bigger challenge, but that doesn't mean you're incapable of it.
Elliot, really appreciate you taking a little bit of time here. I know how busy you are. Thanks for doing this. We'll let you get back to the rest of your day.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts Hockey Night in Canada with the latest he's hearing on Thatcher Demko. And again, Reach emphasizing that, yes, the same knee, but from everything he's been told, a new injury unrelated to the previous one for Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, we're going to find out more as the day goes along.
Yeah,
I'm certain of that, but... you know, bottom line is he's questionable to return in this series. And if you're the Canucks, you've got to just have a next man up mentality and focus on what you can focus on. And that's winning hockey games with Casey DeSmith in net.
All right, Reach, thanks for doing this. I kind of wish it was under happier circumstances, but at least we had a lot
to
talk
about.
It's
the playoffs.
It's the playoffs. That's right. We'll go to break. Drancer is on standby, so we'll do the whiteboard. Gee, I wonder what the headline will be in the whiteboard. That's coming up next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.